Well, good morning, everyone. I'm going to start with a joke, if that's all right. There was a sailor who was posted abroad, and he wrote home, and he was very honest with his girlfriend. He said, look, there's lots of pretty girls here, and I think I need to take up a hobby. And so his girlfriend thought that was an excellent idea, and sent him a harmonica. And when he came home on leave, you may have heard this story before, but when he came home on leave, he went to see her. He held out his arms for a welcome embrace, and she stood there and said, first let me hear you play the harmonica. Well, we all know about temptation, I'm sure, whatever form it may take, we all know, don't we? Whether it be chocolate or cream cakes or sweets or greed or lust or envy or selfishness or want or whatever. We all know about temptation. But as we have a look at this passage, I wonder what this passage has to say to us specifically about temptation and about what we can learn from it and the way that Jesus deals with it. But I just want to clear up a couple of things first. The first thing to be clear on is this, that temptation is not an excuse for sin. Temptation is not an excuse for sin. Nowhere in the Bible can we find justification in praying, Lord, it is true that I have sinned, but you see, it wasn't my fault. It was the devil's fault. He tempted me. And we like to use excuses quite a lot. I've got a first-class honours degree in excuses. You just have to ask my wife. Fortunately, she's not present today. But you see, making excuses has been going on since the beginning of time. In Genesis 3:16, when questioned why they'd taken the fruit, what did Adam and Eve reply? It wasn't us, it was the serpent who tempted and deceived us. You see, whatever our excuses, the point is summarised for us in James. In James 1:14-15, I'm sure you're all aware, each person, it says, is tempted when he or she is enticed by their own desire. And when that desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And so we need to be clear that nowhere in the Bible does it mention that we can have use temptation as an excuse, but also nowhere in the Bible does it say that God sends temptation. You see, temptation itself doesn't come from God. That's the devil's lot that tempts us. But now we've cleared that a context, if you like. We've cleared that up. I just want to have a look at this passage specifically for us and what it may teach us as we think about the temptation specifically and how to deal with temptation. And I want to cover for you three quick points. If you ever hear me preach, there's always three points. The points are this. First, the first point is this, that temptation is specific. Temptation is specific. And what is clear from the outset, that these temptations that Jesus is subject to are specific to him. And most noticeably, to place doubt in his mind about his own identity. Verse 3, the devil says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Verse 6, the devil says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Verse 8, Jesus is shown all the kingdoms of the world and asked to do what? To deny himself as Son of God and worship the devil himself. And what is clear is that it appears that these temptations are specific and unique to Jesus and to Jesus as Son of God. Now the lesson for me in this, and I hope for all of us, is that just as the devil seems to attempt Jesus very specifically and on a personal level, so I believe he does so with us. And I think that temptation is very specific to who we are, and also I think that the temptation also varies with age. I don't think the devil tempts me in the same way now as he did when I was a teenager. Okay, maybe some of the time perhaps, but not completely. And you see, I think that temptation is specific to our circumstances and to who we are. When my wife was pregnant with our first child, with a daughter, she developed diabetes in pregnancy. And so she'd been eating a lot of chocolate. And the doctor said that she's to eat no more chocolate. And so being the dutiful husband that I am, I hid it. It's all these bars of Cadbury's chocolate, and I put them in the kitchen, as I thought I'd hidden them, in the top of the cupboard in the kitchen, right on the top shelf, where I didn't think she'd see them, and where she couldn't reach them, at least. And I was on the phone, and I heard this horrible crash and bang in the kitchen. And so I rushed out, and there was my wife with a broom. And she'd hoiked the chocolate down from the top cupboard. You see, temptation, I think, is specific. And so we need to be aware and to watch out and how we might be tempted in specific ways according to who we are. To be aware of our individual weaknesses, for these are bound to be the source of temptation. But be aware, just as a little side here, but be aware that also that we are not tempted to doubt the identity of Jesus. You know, I hear many times and many people explain that Christ is just a good man. Well, I don't buy that. I don't think you have that option, actually, to think that Jesus is just a good man. That's another sermon in there. I think you either have an option of he's mad, bad, or God, but maybe for another time. But also, maybe we're tempted to doubt our own identity in Christ. To doubt that we are truly loved and that we always have been loved, that we are loved and we always will be loved. And that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love. But let us be aware of that first point, that our temptation may come to us very specifically to us. Well, if that's the first point, then temptations are specific. The second point here, I think, that is that temptations can appear reasonable. That temptation can appear entirely reasonable. When we look at verse 3, we hear the devil stating to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, there's that specific thing there, if you are the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread. Now, on the face of it, that appears entirely reasonable, doesn't it? Jesus has been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and we see in verse 2 that he is hungry. But you see, if you leave it there, I think then you miss the point, because as we've already mentioned, the devil is trying to put some doubt into Jesus' mind, if you are the Son of God. And so Jesus replies in verse 4 with a quote from Isaiah 40. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but on the very word that comes from the mouth of God. And so when we are tempted, the circumstances might on the surface appear to be initially quite reasonable. When we get angry or impatient, well, that's just a natural reaction, isn't it? And anyway, they shouldn't have said what they said. Actually, sometimes we make an excuse even of our own humanness. And so when I do something wrong, I might say, and I get caught out or whatever, or I haven't managed to do, I lose my temper or whatever, I might say, yeah, but you see, I am only human. The circumstances, entirely reasonable, when all about us are getting drunk, well, it's only one drink, and anyway, everyone's doing it. When we're being selfish, well, it's only right. I've worked hard for this and I'm going to keep it. And anyway, why shouldn't I? You see, if we work hard enough, we can justify it or excuse what we think or do. But do you know also, I think it's also impossible to find theological reasons for giving in. You see, when the devil, in verse 6, quotes the Bible to Jesus, he says, throw yourself down and he will command his angels concerning you and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. It's a quote or a misquote from Psalm 91. You see, it's possible to find quotes or misquotes from the Bible to apply a passage so literally that we can justify something or take passages out of context. So be aware, for temptation can appear reasonable and even theological. Let us be aware. Well, that's the second point. Then the third point is this. It may come as no surprise to you. Temptations appear inviting and fulfilling. Temptations appear inviting and fulfilling. When we look at verses 8 and 9, what could be more fulfilling? Jesus is shown all the kingdoms of the world, and the devil says, all of this can be yours if you bow down and worship me. But you see, there's the great deception. For all the power that the devil offers, firstly, is not his to give. And secondly, the deception is that in some way that will be fulfilling. But just as in this case, likewise, for us the offer of money or sex or power can appear fulfilling. That happiness and purpose is bound up in things that we have. Perhaps the greatest of all deceptions. And so people are tempted into a series of false hopes. You know, I see the queue. If you go into the supermarkets, you will see a queue for the lottery on Saturdays and Wednesdays. And all the people there believe that winning will somehow be the source of all well-being and the answer to all problems. But you see, that's a deception, isn't it? Because the truth is that meaning and purpose in our lives doesn't come from money or material things. It comes from God himself. Well, what of all this then? If we've had a look at the fact that temptations can be specific, that temptations can be reasonable, and temptations can appear inviting and fulfilling, that it is as we are aware of those things that we might see through the deceptions that the devil might show us in those temptations. But what about how to deal with it? How do we deal with temptation? Well, Don't be frightened. I'm not going to go through three more things at length. I'm just going to quickly touch through these things. I don't want to keep you here and burn the roast dinner. The first thing that we see how Jesus deals with this is he uses the Bible and he quotes. And Jesus here, when he's tempted, he quotes from the Bible in verse 4. He quotes from Isaiah chapter 40. In verse 7, he quotes from Deuteronomy 6. And in verse 10 he quotes from Deuteronomy 6 again, this time verse 13. But do you know, my knowledge of the Bible just isn't good enough to every time a temptation or things tempt me that I'm able to immediately think of a quote from the Bible. It would be great to have a little index, wouldn't it, in the back of the Bible. You know, one Sunday morning I was driving to church and I stopped at a junction and someone ran into the back of me. And as they got out in the conversation, it transpired that they were uninsured. And it would have been great, I can tell you, to have a little index in the back of my Bible that simply I was able to look up accident, subsection before church, subsection not insured. But you see, the point for me is this. That as we come to read the Word of God, as we come to study the Word of God, that we may know more of the mind and the heart of God. And as we know the more the heart and the mind of God, then we know what's from Him and what isn't from Him. So we're able to discern where the deceptions of the devil. We're able to discern where the temptations come from and how to deal with them and what God wants. And see, the more we know the Word of God, the more we know the heart and mind of God, the more we're able to recognise the deceptions and of temptation that we've talked about this morning. You see, when we acknowledge that temptations are specific and acknowledge our weakness and that temptations can appear reasonable and fulfilling, and then when we come to read the Word of God and know the mind and heart of God, then we may see temptation for what it is. And run away like mad from it. We are to run away from temptation. We're to flee and run away when we are able to recognise what is happening. Another very quick story for you. I was reading the story of a man who got on the same, you may have heard this before, the story of a man who got on the same train every day. I've never been a commuter, but I understand from speaking to those that do, it's often the case that you stand in the same place on the platform every day and get on the same carriage every day. And this man got on the same carriage every day, and there was a young woman, he was a married man, and a young woman got on the same carriage every day. And they began to converse together, and he found himself falling in love with her, more being attracted to her. And when he recognised what was happening, what did he decide to do? Caught a different train. Run away from temptation. Flee and run away. In Romans 12 verse 2 he says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Avoid falling into the patterns of this world, the normalisation of consumerism and drinking and materialism and so on, and I could go on. You know, one of the great temptations of our modern age, I believe, is that we're tempted to make up our own morality on the hoof, and so that it just suits us. Don't conform to the patterns of this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Run away from temptation as much as you can. And then lastly, to pray and submit yourself to God. Come to God in prayer. Hebrews 2 verse 18 says this, because he himself suffered, that's Christ, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Come to God, because he knows what it's like. Rest on his faithfulness and on his power and his authority. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 says this, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Ephesians 6 verse 10 says this, it says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Stand firm against temptation, against the devil's deceptions and schemes. Come to God in prayer. Rest on his faithfulness and on his power and authority, and stand firm. And so may you, this day, know the deceptions that come to Christ and come to us. May you know that as you read and study the Bible, that you may come to know the mind and heart of God and recognise temptation for what it is. May you flee from it wherever and whenever possible. And may you pray and submit yourself to him who knows and who is faithful in his promise and in his power. Amen.